Chav Beis Sivan Siman Kuf Nun Gimel Halacha Aleph to Halacha Ches. We're starting the laws of Nida, Taras HaMishpacha, one of the three staples of Judaism, and definitely another world, fascinating world, and a lot has to do with the changes of science too. How the Al Halacha deals with the scientific changes, all the different types of birth controls, IUDs, and just actually the parameters of Taras HaMishpacha, which we're going to get into. Really been a topic by me for many, many years. And there's an amazing organization, it's called Ta'arinu. If you don't know about it, it's a must. And it's there's hundreds of ladies that answer shailas, meaning give proper direction for women that are having difficulty with spotting and all the different types of situations. Crucial for every couple to know. It's called Torat HaMishpacha, also Ta'arinu. If you need the number, you could just... I'll be happy to WhatsApp it to you. Okay, here we go. Simon Kufnum Gimel. First thing is that the kitzel sets the basics. Any woman that has even a drop of blood coming from the uterus, that's called the makor, the source. So the halacha is, regardless of whether it's through exercise, the jumping, whatever the cause may be, if it's coming from the uterus, that becomes already a possibility of it being a nida d'oraisa. And she's considered tameh, and she has to count 7 clean days after this. Really, there's what's called the 5 bleeding days and the 7 clean days. But to me, the raisa certainly, she has to count 7 clean days, and then she goes to the mikveh. And until then, someone has relations with a lady that is a nida, is a chiyuv karet. It's a very serious offense. The only tricky part is, what does that mean? That sometimes, especially today, you have so many different other causes of wounds, cysts, many things that I've been asked over the years. The situations where the blood is not uterine blood, i.e. it might become the urine, but it's the wall of the uterus, it's coming through a wound, and then therefore, very important to ask the right shailas with the right rav, because many times a woman will be, and a couple will go through a very difficult time being machmir when it's really not necessary. So that's a very important thing. Make sure shailas that you might have thought until now are a problem may not be. If a person is not actually having relations, but just hugging, kissing, touching what's called the achiva, so the kids of Paskins is a achiv malchus, that goes with actually the opinion of the Rambam. It's actually disputed between the Rambam and the Ramban. The kids goes on to say, even if a woman doesn't have argasha, now you should know that there are great giants that say that women today have no idea what argasha means. Argasha means literally, it means a sensation. Many women don't relate to what that sensation Chazal is talking about. It could be simply because we're so different and so lost in so many different ways. We've lost even the sensitivity to what sensation means. But the bottom line is, even if there's no sensation, so some poskim, great giants, hold it still a deraisa, some hold no, it's rabbanon, which is the simple understanding. And therefore, now we're dealing with what's called a kesem, a stain. And there's much more room to be lenient. The kitzur says, definitely to ask a shaila. But the idea is that once it's a kesem, a stain, so it has to be a specific size. If you could associate it to something, that also makes a distinction. And therefore, also the color makes a distinction. And therefore, there's much more room to be lenient. So that's why it's important to know this distinction. The Kitzur goes on to explain, if a woman had what's called argasha, some type of sensation that her uterus opened up, which is also one of the three definitions that we find, which is something very unrelatable today. So even if she checked herself and didn't find anything, that could be a problem, and she would have a status of being tummy. And these are the type of things you have to ask a shayla today. Unless she finds some type of discharge, and therefore she could associate that discharge to the sensation that she experienced. Then the kitzur goes on to say the famous concept of achokos. So there's a pasuk that says, "Velisha nidas tomasa lo sikav," which means don't get even close. A husband has to watch out, or a husband and the wife together have to make sure that they keep what's called the achakas. Achakas are the distances that the chachamim, in the very deep wisdom of understanding, I say that the chachamim were much more understanding of Romans than we ever would imagine. They understood what creates, what's how special, a small little touch, and what it could lead to. Also, when I teach this, I always say that this is something that you're not supposed to do when you're not permitted to each other, but this is what you're supposed to do when you are permitted to each other, because this means that all these different acts are special. So just the concept itself of it's based on schoik v'kalos roish, being lightheaded, joking around. So these things lead to sin when it's not permitted. Nevertheless, there's no problem of yichud. We already explained this. Azman Rav allowed to be secluded because we trust that there's no problem once they're already married. But here are some of the what we call the achakas. A person shouldn't touch his wife when she's in either even a small, even touching her finger. And shouldn't even hand things to each other. Why is that? Because you might come to touch. Can you imagine? That Chazal was so sensitive to what touch means. Even something that's long, one should not receive from each other. Throwing to each other is not permitted. And on that, there's a big debate. Some say if you throw it up or drop it, where it's gravity that's causing the transfer, so then there's no problem. Also, by the Sfaradim, the more maker when it comes to Zrika, throwing. If something is long and heavy, there's more of a leniency also. So therefore, if you have to carry something, and certainly the famous Shaila always discusses taking down the Agalah, you're in Israel and you're on the bus, and you have to take off the carriage of the baby. Definitely don't have some stranger do it yourself, help your wife. And halachically, there's definitely what to rely on. When it comes to eating is a very powerful and intense way to connect between anyone, especially the husband and wife. And therefore, you should have what's called a shinui, something that's not usually on the table. Or if they're usually together from the same bowl, they should have separate bowls. Or she changes the spot, wife changes the spot where she eats. Or you have like these mats that you turn that the green when you're permitted to be with each other, and the red when you're not. I used to have that. All the different types of ways of being a reminder. That's the idea. Also, a husband's not supposed to drink from the leftover drinks of his wife, because that causes him to think about her in a more intensive way and romantic way. If there's someone else that drank in between or was poured into another cup, it's not a problem, because that connection, those would be where she drank from, is not anymore. He's not anymore connected to that. And the kid says an interesting thing. If she drank from it, if the wife drank from a cup, he doesn't know that she drank, but she doesn't have to tell him, which is logical. The whole thing is a logical thing about where the husband's mind is. And a wife's allowed to drink for the leftover drink of her husband. And some say that just like one's not supposed to drink from the leftover drinks of his wife, so too one should not eat from the leftover food. That's generally the custom. Unless it's something that really the wife didn't read from, meaning if it's like separate pieces of French fries, etc., then usually it's not a problem. Sleeping together, this is a major problem. Why is it a major problem? Because many times people go away and forget to remind the hotel that they need two separate beds, and then they have only one bed. And it could be that woman's in need, and there's halacha that you're not supposed to sleep in the same bed. Now, even if it's two separate beds, there should be somewhat of a separation. So there's many different opinions how much of the separation is. The main thing is it's not touching each other. Or I think Almosha holds that the husband or the wife can roll over into each other's bed. But that's the idea. Also, it goes as far as the husband can't lie down or sit down even on his wife's bed. A wife technically is allowed to sleep or sit on the husband's bed, but not in front of him. All this is why? It's because where the mind is, the power of the mind. And I think you see from here the power of when a couple is close and how powerful that the experience could be when it's done in the right way. And lastly, one of the interesting shilas of benches, you're not supposed to sit together on the same with your wife on the bench, that you feel each other's movement. There's also if there's someone in between, it's okay. Also traveling on vacation, obviously there's the practical try to book don't book a vacation when the woman's in either. That's, but sometimes you get stuck and it's a problem. But the main interesting combination is to travel on a ship or a type of wagon that they used to travel on, where you feel each other's movement and it's for pleasure. But if a person's going not for pleasure, mitzvah, wedding, etc., then it's not a problem. And especially today, Moshe anyway holds that cars don't have this problem. So usually the shaila is not a very common shaila. I think the most common shaila of this is like these love seats that they have that swings. Yeah, you shouldn't sleep in the love seat. But usually that's something that is a little bit romantic. Have a beautiful day.